Well, hello, everybody. I am not surprised that we have got a full house this afternoon. Goodness me, welcome, welcome. My name's Becky Metcalf, and on behalf of Design Centre Chelsea Harbour, a very, very warm welcome to our design workshop. Now, these workshops have been devised to really give you the inside track of some of the things that we think are very, very interesting in interior design at the moment. The clue is in the title, Colour, Creativity and Cocooning. We have got the most brilliant panel. Goodness me, Harriet Altmaier, floral maestro. We've got interior designer Beata Human. We're in the showroom of Bernie de la Cogne. So all around you is some of the most beautiful fabrics that you'll see. And who's going to look after us? Our friend Catherine Cargill, European editor of Milieu. Please give them a very, very warm welcome.
Thank you. Good. Hi, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry I'm reading this. At Chelsea Harbour Design Centre on behalf of Milieu magazine. Milieu was founded 6 years ago by a Texan interior designer called Pam Pierce and has made waves right from the very first issue. We seek to publish the work of the very best designers from both the US and Europe and further afield. The magazine is now available in many newsagents in Europe. There are some copies here for you to look at and to take away if you'd like to, because they're hard to find. Now to our panelists, Bernie de la Cogne, who is so kindly hosting us in her fabulous showroom here, produces the most beautiful fabrics, which are the essence of luxury. Her sumptuous velvets, softest cashmeres, and crunchiest raw linens are used.
Wonderful.
They are wonderful. They are the best. Are
I'm
used
sold.
By top interior designers all over the world. Beata Heumann, whose quirky take on interior design and brilliant use of colour has shot her to the top of Britain's design world, truly. Beata produces unexpected, beautiful rooms using her well-honed eye for colour, furniture and art. You're very good at art.
Thank you.
And Harold Altmaier is an exceptionally creative floral designer, who we love, who has worked all over the world transforming houses using anything from simple branches to the most sophisticated installations. There isn't a job too challenging for Harold's keen eye. He was the creative director at Paul Brook & Gould for 25 years and is now working privately both as a florist and a photographer. All the floral images that
are they going?
No, that when they go are taken by Harold and they're really very wonderful. So to our subject today, colour, subjects, creativity, and cocooning. All three of you are masters at these. You, Beata, have a strong colour sense that pervades your work, brave, confident, and memorable. Bernie, the new collection that you're launching for Focus is called Maverick. It's all over here. And is bold and rich with intense colours that complement your existing collections and bring a new dimension to your many talents. Harold, your work in a world of botanical colour and you're an expert at bringing out colours in interior design with your great arrangements, such as that beautiful one there next to the lovely stripe, and this stunning arrangement here, which complements Bernie's lovely velvets, and this wonderful creation over here, which is fun and fresh and rather nice.
Thank you.
So, creativity. There's no question that all of you have a massive creative abilities honed through the years to make you leaders in your fields. Cocooning. This term is used more and more to describe homes as sanctuaries from frenetic lives, uncertain times, and speed around us. Bernie, your fabrics certainly have a cocooning nature. And Beata, I can imagine being in any one of your interiors and shedding external stresses, as indeed your flowers, Harold, from scent to arrangement, provide an escape from some of the harsher aspects of life around us. Your beautiful arrangements are a perfect foil for Bernie's new collection. Lovely. So now we'd like to hear from you. We'd all love to hear how you become such experts in your fields. What is the first step on a project? How do you produce your interiors, your collections, and your arrangements? Beata.
So I suppose just kind of practically speaking,
yes,
the first thing we do is, of course, meet with the client. And you know, as the longer you do it for, you get better and better at this. But it's all about, you know, when if it for a project to truly be a success, I think it needs to be a natural reflection of who they are as people. So it's all about, you know, us interpreting that in the right way. So that first meeting, you know, you just walk around and talk to them, and not, you know, you look at the house as well, but it's really more to find out more about their personality and like just, you know, what they're like. Yeah. And then following that, we sort of do a pitch presentation for any job that we might want to do. We're not always asked to do it, but it's a good way to start because, you know, you're already sort of halfway there and hopefully you're sort of really selling. Because it's hard to show people or tell people in words what sort of
fabulous ideas are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're just very dedicated to this, you know, to understanding who they are as people. And the only way to really show that is to present it to them.
Yeah.
So I quite like doing that. Also for us to work out whether they get us and, yeah, see if it's the right fit.
Yeah.
And then I think planning is really important. So once you have a project and you start with an interior, doing a furniture layout and working out exactly how the space is going to work, that's really key. So practically, that's kind of what happens when I start.
Perfect. A good start. Yeah. Bernie, how do you start a collection?
Well, it starts in all sorts of different ways because I read everything and I travel a huge amount and I'm totally inspired by nature. So I see all these things and then something just comes to me that I feel that's what the collection needs. So as soon as I know what I need and where I'm going, then I start with the yarn. So the fibers are extremely important. So it's where we get the fibers from, how we mix the fibers, how we weave the fibers. And one thing Katrin touched on was cocooning. I think what I always try to think of, is this product going to work or is this texture going to work with the previous texture so the interior can have lots of layers of fabrics and create this cocooning environment.
Layering is important, Layering is very
Layering
important.
Is what it's all everything. About.
It is. Wonderful. Harold, how do you start? Well, with the flowers.
I am the person that gets called in last. So nobody thinks of me until the last minute. So when I come in, I have to sort of deal with whatever they dish up. So the walls are done, the curtains are done, the colors. I cannot go and rip out a wall or change any furniture. I have to deal with what is there. And so I'm, so to speak, the pudding. You know, of the design world. And so I come in and then I look at all these ingredients, so to speak, like the texture, if that is involved, if people are very fussed about texture or some might be fussed about classical arrangements and want classical displays. I look at all these different ingredients, furniture, you know, fabrics, drapery, and the flooring, and also, you know, the accessories that they throw in. And sometimes I have to deal with the vases and containers that clients will provide, and I have to work with that. So that is always a challenge. And sometimes, so you never know what you're actually walking into, you know. So, and then you have to respond to it quickly. They give you very little time because they thought of you, as I said, last, so you have 10 days a week max, and they want you to do miracles, and it's a challenge and you're under great time pressure, but it is also quite rewarding when it comes together because it brings life to interiors and it sort of adds the last finishing touches, which is really very very wonderful.
Is it a problem if you don't like the style of the interiors?
Of course it is. but you
still do. Are you sometimes just like, this is too ugly? I can't.
Very diplomatic.
No, I will never offend someone. It matters also if a property is by a private client, so then you deal with that person, you have to get into their head somehow, make sure that you know what makes them tick, and especially figure out their dislikes, because a lot of people say, I love all flowers, they're beautiful. No, they're not. You know, this one reminds me of my mother, and then she was nasty to me, or God knows what, you know, so you gotta be very careful, you know, so, but also what is very important is a property to be sold like as a show home. So then you have to be much more, you know, for everyone's taste and not to offend anyone, That's very important. Why, when you have an individual client, you can tailor that to them.
I don't think any of your flowers offend anyone.
They can. They can. So, and it's easier, actually, when you have a client that has a very strong personality and a vision, because then you can just go with that, and you can find these things and make them happy. If they are completely unsure what they want, you're in a minefield and you're schlepping things left, right, and center, and it goes back and forth and until because they're not sure, you know. So the stronger the character, the better.
Definitely. Mm. Thank you very much. The next question we have is: what inspires and fuels your ideas, Bernie? Is it you? Yes, it's you.
Is it me?
It's you.
I think it was you. But okay, hey, I'll go for it. I wasn't ready, but I'm going for it. So, okay. Inspiration, I think, you know, honestly, anything can inspire me. It's, you know, travel, nature, the bark on a tree, the color of Harold's flowers in the window. Yeah. You know, really anything is inspirational. For me, it's usually natural. It's usually outdoor. It's usually to do with nature or animals or that kind of thing. So I can be inspired by anything, and I'll give you just one tiny little example. I went to a gallery in Los Angeles that do mid-century furniture. I love this gallery. Anyway, they had a sofa which was covered in an old artist's canvas, which they'd painted white, and I thought, I'm sure I can do that on linen. So I came back, and I got hold of the linen, and I got hold of my favorite mill, and I asked them if they could paint a linen for me, and then we could wash it to get most of the paint off, and we could achieve the same effect. And they did. And actually, even though my team thought I was crazy, it's now our best-selling product.
Where is it?
I'm used to
it. It's somewhere around. It's here. I can show it to you later. But it's literally 100% linen painted.
I've used it quite a few times.
And you liked
it.
So it's a kind of quirky thing. And the new collection, there's a new one for you.
Yeah, I remember you said. I have to take
it. Yeah. So, you know, inspiration comes from anywhere, I think.
Absolutely. Harold, where does your inspiration come from?
Well, again, nature probably plays a huge part for me. I grew up on the German-French-Luxembourg border, and we have a lot of big pine forest. So as children, we always were in there. We lived literally in there. We run through, you know, these moss-covered wooden floors, and it was just absolutely wonderful. Lovely. And we collected cones and barks and all that, and that never left me. And to this day, I love getting out of London with my dog and then getting into these woods because they're very, very inspiring. Also, grasslands like the Wick and Fen or whatever, anything sort of to do with
natural nature,
texture, and all that. I'm very fortunate that I travel a lot for my clients, and so I get to see a lot, and I travel also extensively privately. So I visit loads of galleries and all over the world, and what I do really love when it comes to color, which is obviously super important, is sort of like seeing the frescoes of Italian churches or, you know, Baroque paintings, or the way they applied the color. And I love the way it's sort of distressed, you know, at many times. So, you know, sort of working with those colors and applying that to floral composition is very rewarding. And then, of course, you know, having fabrics and backgrounds and walls, you know, the more distressed or the more rough linen or velvet, the better. You know, I just love working with all these things, and it gives me great pleasure.
Well, so much goes into it. I mean, I buy my flowers from Marks and Spencer's, and they don't end up looking like yours.
I
know why.
Beata, what inspires you?
I guess I think when I feel what I'm trying to do with our interiors and also, you know, the other things that we do is, I think if you do a room really successfully, it's almost like you can transport the person in the room somewhere else, or make them really be in the moment and sort of forget about the outside world.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in how you create this like sort of special little worlds to really kind of enhance people's life and make them be in the moment and forget about the outside
That's important.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it comes into the kind of.
But you do,
because
there's so much going on in your interiors too. That's interesting and mixed. You know, from an unusual painting to an incredible fabric.
Yeah, I think a way to sort of, it hasn't been completely conscious, but when I analyze it, I think a way to make people be in that moment and take in their surroundings is if there's something a little bit unusual around them. Yeah. It's almost like you work a bit on the offbeat.
Yeah.
So there might be
you're very good at that.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And there's like something that could be a tiny bit surreal, for example, or just not exactly what you think you might
not
see.
Predictable.
So exactly. It makes you stop and think, and that goes for like, you know, contrast in colours, contrast in styles and all those kind of things. And I also think it's interesting to think about what home kind of means. And for children, for example, I think home is a really powerful place, and it's almost your everything.
Yeah.
And then as you grow up, it's a bit more a place to relax. I think somehow I'm a little bit more stuck in my childhood. And I grew up on a farm in Sweden, which was relatively isolated because I mean, it wasn't that far away from people, but my parents never wanted to drive me anywhere. So I had to just sort of make my own fun where I was. So I also think that has sort of really affected the way I design for the home to kind of be your everything so that you don't really need to go anywhere else. I didn't sort of use, it's amazing to travel, but it's also thinking a bit about making the most with what you've got, and the same, you know, that goes for where, you know, you might find inspiration.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, making the most of the opportunity you have to hand and seeing the beauty in the small things. So
wonderful. that's a very different take from most people. It's really lovely.
It's interesting, though, how we've all been affected by nature. You know, nature's a theme for
all
of us.
All three of you, very much so.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, because of all the places you grew up, it's...
Yeah,
there's a lot of different
in all different countries.
It's really suburban London.
It really affects obviously how you grow up, really, and where it really affects how you think.
Completely,
and, you know.
It does. Yeah. So as we look through, or we don't, but you look through these exquisite photographs. I hope they are of all your work on the screen. The degree of professionalism is extremely high. What does it take to achieve such a high degree of professionalism, Harold? Tell me. Because you really do.
Well,
push out
you have
the boat.
To have a total love and devotion for what you do. And you just have to be prepared to make sacrifices like, you know, work to 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. It's just what it is, and get up at four again, or I don't know.
And
get out and get the flowers and all that. It never stops. But you have to have, with all that love and passion, you have to have great discipline. And, you know, you screw up, but you learn from your mistakes. You do better next time. And but it's discipline that is really hard to mix with creativity. But because when you're creative, you have to be able to dream. And otherwise, you know, when flowers have to flow or fabrics have to flow, they can't be rigid. You can't be a bean counter, you know, and sometimes... If you need to add a little more, you do that because it is you care about the look more than you care necessarily about the finances, sadly, to my accountant. You know. So, but you have to have a discipline, and also you have to be devoted, and you have to, customers, king, customers always right. And what I think is also important that if you do an event for someone and they entrust you with this job, you know, you want to do your best. So that involves that you sort of have the flowers. You don't buy them on the day of the function because, you know, you have buds, you have, you know, they're not open enough or whatever. So some of them you have to buy 10 days or 2 weeks in advance so that the lilies open properly. You have to monitor them. So if the flowers open too quickly, you cool them down. If they open too slowly, you put heat on it, more light, and so on. And you synchronize all these 20, 30 babies for that day.
Wow.
Then you terrorize your driver because he takes it to the venue. And if he presses it against his body or takes two vases, goes into a lift, smashes all the heads off or whatever, you die. So and then he will die. So it's very important to have that discipline So you have to be creative, create a flow, need to dream, but at the same time, you have to be very, very focused on what is going on around you. You can't just be creative, because sadly, in floristry, 10% of it is creativity. Yeah, the rest is buying, choosing, you know, going through the supply chain, or that, you know, psychology, pleasing everybody, you know, keeping the staff happy, keeping the client happy, and making it all flow at the same time. So it's kind of hard, and it's challenging.
It is.
But it's very rewarding when it then peaks and you see the smile on people's face, you know, when you actually made their dreams come true. So that is quite fantastic.
Ernie, how do you make people's dreams come true?
Well, just listening to Harold.
That's very well said.
just listening to you, I realise why my flowers never look like yours. Yeah. Because I do them in 5 minutes.
Yes.
So, wow.
But your degree of professionalism and the quality, the exquisite quality of your fabrics,
you
is
know,
really
professionalism,
what you're known for.
I think, if that's the word, that's so, so important to us. Mm. And that's the reason why we produce all our products in Europe, because that way we can get the best fibers, and also I can very easily get to the mill. So I know every mill owner that we work with. I know some of the farmers who plant the flax. And it's so important to me, because that end product has to be perfect.
How many different mills do you work with?
Well, that's a good question, because I always thought I'd buy a mill. But if I did buy a mill, then I would have to only do one thing, because each mill has its own strengths. Yeah. You know. So we work with about 10 altogether.
It must be difficult
but
managing.
But six, it's
all
difficult.
Of that, yeah.
We have a great team in Windsor who manage the mills and the procurement of the products. So, you know, it's about starting with the fiber, seeing that that's absolutely perfect, then going to the mill, driving them nuts. It's a bit like terrorizing your driver, you know. We really do drive them nuts. And then, you know, I have a team. In the warehouse, I have somebody who really understands quality. Excuse me. And in the head office, I have another team of people who really understand quality. Mm.
And it's so important to have people on your side that
so
understand
important.
Your vision.
Yeah, because, you know, you can produce a beautiful quality piece of fabric, but it might not feel right. Mm. Then it gets rejected. So, or it might not drape perfectly, and then it gets rejected. Or the colour which you've ordered comes in slightly off, we reject it. So, and it causes lots of trouble, trust me. I'm looking at Philip over there, who sees that all our sampling and et cetera is made on time. And, you know, we've got to make all our products on time for the whole world. So if we reject something, that's a big deal. But we do that continuously. And that way we keep the level of professionalism. And then just finally, I could see you looking at me because I'm talking so much.
No, you're not talking enough. It's wonderful. I'd love to hear it.
But finally, it was really interesting, because the other day I had a meeting with our procurement team, operations, design, you know, everybody all together. And I said, you know what, guys, this is getting exhausting. The new collection is just not coming in on time. So why don't we just accept what they've sent us? And they were all up in arms, and they said, you know what, guys, that's not Delaconia. Let's persevere. And I was shocked, because that meant they had to work on the weekends. And so that's how we keep the quality of our product and the hand as it is today.
So amazing. Beata, how do you achieve this
these
high
two
degree?
Have sort of covered it, I think.
But it's because they're kind of manufacturing, but you're creating these
interiors.
Well,
we make all the things for
you.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
it's
see.
you have to work incredibly hard. It's really hard to work. I think very often people sort of ask you to give them sort of secret tip about, like, you know, how do you do it? But the truth is you just have to work really, really hard. And you can't really do that unless you love it. So you can't.
But I imagine your workmen and your all those professionals must be the most important people to you.
They are, and like you know, that's probably the biggest. You know, those are the issues that we have. Mm. There's just so many different levels to it. You know, we do the entire house from you know start to finish. So it's, you know, it's the floors, it's the skirting, it's the walls, it's the wallpaper, it's all the electrical stuff, all the switches, all the lights, all the fabrics, you know, everything that goes into bathroom, like all the fixed joinery, the kitchen. And it's, you know, the way we design things is also it's all really bespoke, and you know, we do bespoke fabrics, we do bespoke furniture all the time, and that's how they get something really special. But it's easier to just buy a chair off someone else,
of course,
because
sure,
you know, then you don't have to think about the seat height and like the height of the table. And but I do think it's really good worth points. It in the end, because that's
totally.
How you get something really unique.
And that's what makes you unique.
You have to be dedicated, and you have to be, and you know, you have to have high expectations on
yeah.
quality. But at the same time, at some point, you also have to be sort of happy at some point when it comes to our work. I think it could always be better, it could always be more perfect, but there's so many different, you know, every now and then you also have to get things done.
Mm.
So
what?
Very true.
Well, you know, I have a brother who's extremely, like, much cleverer than I am, and very, like, academic. But he's such a perfectionist that nothing ever gets done.
No,
so
yeah.
I think you also have, especially as in interior design, you have to really be a doer as well.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's that mix
really
of having
yeah.
high standards,
yeah.
only wanted the best, like never, and sort of not stopping at the obvious. Like you have a bookshelf, and like maybe someone will be happy with just some shelves, but why don't we put this sort of glass section in it to have like another lining inside
yeah.
it, with like a glass
yeah.
shelf rather than normal. So you can
Pretty.
Always just push it a bit further
yeah.
to make it more special. But yeah, it requires a lot of time, dedication, and knowledge, because there's so many things that can go
experience.
Wrong.
Experience.
Because half of what we do is just trying to work out in advance everything that could potentially go wrong. And that comes from having done it for a long time as well,
yeah.
knowing that.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's, I think it's good to work for someone else before you set up on your own, because you know, then you learn from them.
Yeah, of
and
course. Yeah.
But yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. That was really great. Wonderful insight. Any questions from anyone about these wonderful people? Yes.
Is it a secret?
Well,
no.
You wherever I am locally, usually. So, but I mean, in London, obviously from Covent Garden Market, then foliages and all that from private gardens. So you have to have some contacts, be nice to people, and that they give you what they have, that specialness. And and you know, if all fails, scissor the dawn at Cadogan Square. You know,
absolutely. Excuse me. You are a Christmas tree stealer. Anybody else?
I think Elizabeth wants to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, we're all charlatans, really.
How do you cope with what? The British people? What was easier before Brexit?
It's a challenge.
I agree.
There is very different light and very different sense, but in a way, I think that the foreignness is actually, people quite enjoy it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
I think
don't
that
have
probably
to
worked well for all
they
of us.
They don't have to, you're not judging the class, you're not judging
exactly.
where they came from and all that stuff. And
yeah.
they're not
yeah.
judging, they have no idea where you're from.
You
so
come with that baggage.
You do, you really do. I think that's a great advantage.
And it's fresh.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
all exciting for you because it's new, so you're not on home turf. You know, which
but then we massively appreciate all the wonderful traditions and good things about England too.
Yeah,
so
we do.
I mean,
absolutely.
We wouldn't be here if
I
we
love
didn't.
It here.
Yeah, I think
you know.
We all do.
Especially May, June. This country is just heaven. You know, when everything
you
flowers
be
and all these beautiful gardens, it's just absolutely gorgeous. You know. And then in January, we clear off to Bernie's home country.
Yes.
Some.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's really interesting in England, because when I first came here, I couldn't understand how all the colours looked different.
Mm.
Because the light is
yeah.
different.
It's
really
you
true.
Know.
Totally
yeah.
different light.
Yeah. yeah. And that leads to people in different countries always buying different colour fabrics.
Mm.
So that must be something you have to
which
really
is
deal
it's
with.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But if I have a look at what we sell every year, what colours we sell, I can be sure that they're going to be different in every country.
Mm.
I must say New York and London have kind of morphed at the moment, and they do great. But colour is in for France. We sell a lot of strong colour in France. And in Italy, a little bit of yellow. We sell more yellow. And Russia, pink.
Really? Great.
So
wonderful.
What kind of pink?
Pretty. Pretty. Oh, this colour. Yeah. You know, yeah. This soft. Texture
right.
is
yeah.
pink.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. They just seem to gravitate towards the pink for some reason, which I like. If it's not a girly pink, you know, that kind of pink, dusty. I think is quite
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
What colours do you like? What colours do you
use? It depends on what it is. I obviously use quite a lot of sort of bright colours. But it's all a mix. I think I don't like being too sort of carbon copy about things. It depends on the clients and where we are. We recently did a project in Nantucket in America, which actually was much more muted than some stuff that we do in London. I think a sort of London townhouse generally, to me, wants something a bit
more
brighter
colour.
To sort of, I don't know, make it a bit sort of easier in the city. But in the, you know, in this, it's an amazing sort of 1830s house, which is ancient for America. It's quite unusual. And it was so beautiful as it was. So there was much more kind of natural tones. And I went back, I got a lot of inspiration from Sweden, for example, and that more kind of folky look. And it really depends on what it is. I think I'm a bit known for using a lot of colour, but that's not all we do. I like to mix it up, and depending on what the house is.
You know, this collection that we've launched is all full of colour,
full
and
of
I'm
colour.
Absolutely
it's
sure that we're going to sell the neutrals.
Well, but that's
because
the same
you
with
know,
everybody, though. You know, the rug company, what did they sell? Neutral
it's
carpets.
True.
That's
but I think, you know, people always think if they're investing in a good quality something, keep it neutral, and then you can get flowers in colours, and you can get cushions in colours, and paint a wall.
And more to colour.
So I think, you know, colour is a whole nother big story, isn't it?
You also don't need that much, like just like little, like a Vermeer, if you look at sort of Vermeer painting or something, like it's all quite sort of muted and there's like a fleck of, you know,
red
of a little bit of
colour box
or
red
something,
or something. And that is what really looks, I think it's all about contrast and just like a little bit of something actually goes a really long way.
True.
Definitely. Any other questions?
Yeah.
And what it consists of, because you're quite prolific in churning out furniture and interior design. Can you tell us?
It's quite a small team, so there's five people. There's three designers, one design assistant, and then Austin here at the back, who is in charge of the product collection and fabrics. And that's it. So we keep it quite small. Obviously nothing amazing, but I turn quite a lot of products away at the moment, actually, because I really want to focus on just doing really good, interesting work. And not. I also have two tiny, one 11-month-old and one 2.5-year-old. So I just want to do a really good job and not stretch myself too thinly. So we're being quite selective and hoping to build something really interesting that will, you know, last and not basically overdoing it. So I'm keeping it quite streamlined.
Very wise.
Although I'm fantasizing a bit about PA at the moment, so we'll see. Hopefully soon.
And Bernie, what about tell us about sustainability? Because I know you're very focused on that.
I think sustainability is a really important thing, because I think we've gone about ruining the planet really well. I think even, you know, sustainability is such a big kind of umbrella word, I think. Conservation for me is in my heart, you know, animal conservation. But I think sustainability in terms of our fabrics, natural fibers are sustainable. You know, like linen, you can keep regrowing it. But the next step that we're taking is 100% organic linen. And the reason for doing organic is not for trendy reasons or anything else, but I think I discovered how harmful some of the fabrics we live with can be, how harmful the dyes can be, and the finishing processes, the chemicals used. And I thought, you know, I think there really is a place for somebody to do truly organic fabrics. So in next year in March, we're going to launch truly organic fabrics.
Fantastic.
I hope so, because, you know, it will all be tied to wellness. All these wellness is becoming such a big thing, and after all we've got is
and
our
buy
health.
Wisely, you know, buy one fabulous thing that, you know,
absolutely.
That's really
I just don't think we
and
have to buy tons. Yeah, you know, we buy so much stuff, and
it goes into landfill, sadly. But what you know, what we've got in the company is more of a circular economy. So when something's discontinued, it goes to a charity, and that charity teaches people a craft. Great. So they make cushions and small pieces of furniture and resell them. So and then others, we make dog blankets, which go to the RSPCA. So nothing that we do ever goes into landfill, I hope.
Great.
So that's the plan on sustainability.
Thank you all. We're done with our
time. Okay, I can't ask you anymore,
really,
but I'm
really
going to ask
you
afterwards.
Thank you so
much.
It was really wonderful having you,
thank you
all
so much.
Three. Just super
thank you.
Great and informative and fun. Thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I actually think we could settle in for the afternoon. There is so much that we could talk about. But do you know what? The one thing that did come out was something you said, Beata, time, dedication and knowledge. Don't you think? That describes our wonderful panel here. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Milieu. Thank you, Catherine. And thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of your time at Focus.
thought like we this was used yesterday, and I thought it was there, and I so I